Archer of ArcherRadio.com. Today is Monday, December 11th, 2006, and we have with us Chef Mark. Say hi, Chef.
There's an ordinary guy named Archer.
Oh, God. Oh, you're so funny.
Well, because you told me not to say
Yeah.
Okay. All right. No, I'm serious now. I'm dead serious.
All right. So how are you?
I'm good.
Did you have a nice weekend?
I did. I needed to just make this a relaxed weekend at home and sort of clean up my apartment and all this. This is a busy time of year for personal chefs. And
yeah.
Between that and the other stuff that I'm doing, I've just been going nonstop. You know, I actually had this sort of stop and say, look, I'm making the conscious choice that I'm going to have my social life be more important part of my life right now. Simply because, you know, it's very easy to get so involved in your work life, especially when things are busy and going well. But I don't want to turn back and say, wait a minute, I've gone a year and a half without really, you know, having a big social life. You know,
yeah.
I don't want to have to say that, you know.
So what did you do social this weekend then?
Well, no, I'm saying I had the time by myself to reflect and to say to myself, I'm going to consciously, especially in the new year that's coming, just, you know, make more of an effort to take more time to have a more active social life.
Gotcha. Very good. Yeah. Well, that's good to do, reflect every once in a while.
Yeah.
Well, the boyfriend and I, we actually had, I guess I want to say a busy weekend, but actually wasn't all that busy. Friday night, we put up my Christmas tree, and I went to the, you probably won't like this, but I went to the Honey Baked Ham store and got a...
I think that's great.
Oh, my God, the ham is so good. I got a quarter ham and some scalloped potatoes, and...
Is it the spiral slice kind?
No, they're... Oh, you mean the ham?
Yeah. Is it the kind that's pre-sliced with the spiral slice?
Yes, it's pre-sliced. Yeah, yeah. But the scalloped potatoes were the frozen kind. I just had to heat them up in the stove.
Okay. All right.
But it was good. I thought it was really good. And the boyfriend enjoyed it. So, of course, we had a nice bottle of wine. Of course, we're doing all this while we're putting up the tree and, you know, doing ornaments and listening to Christmas music.
So what did you finally end up doing for your tree? Because I know there was some discussion about your old tree and...
Well, I decided to keep the old tree. It's an old fake tree.
So you found it anyway.
Yeah, it was down in my storage unit. I had it. Yeah.
But wasn't it like that? It had gone missing, or you thought someone took it, or?
No, I think you're thinking of somebody else.
Was that another podcast?
Yeah, because I remember that story too from another podcast.
Okay, but you were talking about your tree, so I must have melded the two together.
Yeah,
okay.
I was talking about like how old this tree is and how I've always put up a fake tree and stuff like that. So.
Okay.
But yeah, so I we put up the fake tree and decorated it, and we pretty much had a pretty relaxing evening, so that was fun.
Are the fake leaves green, or are they like silver?
Oh no, they're green. They're definitely green. Yeah, this I think it looks pretty much like a tree. It's not as tall as what most people's Christmas trees are, because I'm taller than the tree, but it's probably like 5.5 feet maybe.
I kind of like that. I don't like these trees that just completely take over the entire room.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
I
the
like
boyfriend's actually his takes over his room pretty good, only because it like once we got it back to his house, it like warmed up or something, and all the branches spread out really wide.
Mm.
So I don't know, but
wow.
Mine does not take over the room at all.
Yeah,
and
like it's funny. It's so tall that you have to chop off the end, and it looks like like it sort of like stops. Like it doesn't come to a point. It just sort of gets cut off.
Well, now if that were the case, I think I would cut it off at the bottom and not off the top, you know?
Well, I know that's what you're supposed to do, but some people do it that way. It looks
then
so
that
funny.
Looks really weird, yeah.
And then when you go to put a star on it, it's more like it's a table.
Very true.
There's a shelf up there. You can put some of the gifts on top.
That would look really funny. Although, you know, yeah. I was watching the CBS Sunday morning show today on Sunday, and they had this segment on Christmas trees and this one store that
sells. Oh, my God.
Did you see this?
No, okay, go ahead and say it, because I'm wondering what you're going to say.
Well, the store sells Christmas trees, all kinds of, they're fake Christmas trees, but there's like three or four new ones, and one is like a half tree, where if you live in a small apartment or something, it's just half a tree that you put up against the wall.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to talk about the upside down tree.
Well, they had that too. If you're really limited on space, you can hang it from the ceiling.
That is insane. And then what, like the presents are just like piled underneath it on the floor or
I guess
something.
so, yeah.
It's kind of like a combination Christmas tree, mistletoe kind of
Yeah, there you
thing.
go.
You stand under the tree and you get a present.
They also had one called a quarter tree that is that sits in the corner and it only takes up the space in the corner of a room.
Oh, but these are all fake trees
Yeah,
then.
all fake trees, yeah.
Okay.
But I thought that's pretty
Okay.
wild. But it
Wow.
would look weird having a quarter tree or a half tree. But
Yeah. See, lately I think about this and I think like actually, I used to be really against the whole fake tree. I thought, "Oh, how stupid." But in a way, I think it's almost better to have a fake tree 'cause I look at all of the numbers of trees that get cut down and it just seems so senseless,
Well,
It's like
they had a statistic on this segment of the show. 38.2 million trees were cut down in 2005.
Yeah, and they say, "Oh, well, we grow them in order to be Christmas trees." And okay, but it still seems kind of crazy. Like, I don't
Yeah.
know. I see, especially in here in the streets of New York City, and they're all from Quebec, right? So what happens is these guys come down from Quebec. They set up these street side stands. Every two blocks or so, they're just, half of the block is taken up with Christmas trees, right? It's like on
Oh,
both sides of
wow.
the street, and they're selling these trees. And people, they lug their trees home. They have that whole net thing, they stick
Right.
the tree through the hole, and they get to put the netting over it to keep it tight. And they do this, and these trees are all coming from Quebec. And it just seems like, oh my God, we're cutting down so many
Many
trees.
trees, yeah.
It just doesn't seem. I mean, I don't do it anymore. Just I don't put up any kind of Christmas tree. But it just seems like if I would, I would probably want to have some kind of nice looking. Reusable one,
Well, now have you said so? Obviously, you've put up a tree in the past, then.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, I was raised Catholic, so
So, well,
yeah.
then, what did you do with all your ornaments that since you don't put up a tree anymore?
Well, I didn't, I never, you know, I never, living in New York, I never really did a lot of tree decoration. I was talking about like growing up as a kid.
Oh,
And
okay.
I mean, I would, I guess, when my boyfriend and I first moved in together, I think we had a small tree and we bought some decorations and stuff. And I think when we moved, we just were like, okay, well, they weren't like fancy. They weren't heirlooms. They weren't, they were just like, we went out to the store and bought a couple garlands, some strings of lights, and some bulbs. So we were
So
like, well,
nothing
we'll just.
major, yeah.
We left it or got rid of it or something. I don't know. I didn't hold on to it,
Well, I was asked the other day, because I'm not a religious person, why do I put up a tree? And I may have mentioned it before. It's all has to do with the tradition of putting up a tree for the holidays. It's certainly not religious, the religious aspect of it at all,
Yeah.
So, but anyway.
Well, I think that's a funny question that someone would ask because it's like, well, Christmas, oh, what? Christmas is a religious holiday? When did that happen? I mean, come on, it's
Exactly,
the
you need
most commercialized.
right.
We've bred all of the religiosity out of it. I mean, it's like Christ is an afterthought
Right.
in Christmas. So it's just sort of funny that someone would say that.
Well, that was not at work. It was, I forget who asked me that. I don't remember.
Yeah.
But anyway, on Saturday we went shopping, and as you know, my kitchen was just recently finished being renovated, and the
Yes.
boyfriend thinks now that I need to get all new, like pots and pans and stuff like that. And
Yeah.
I agree because I have some Revere ware, copper bottom Revere ware from like 1982. I know.
That's good stuff.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay, well,
Anything with a copper bottom is good.
it doesn't have any non-stick stuff on it though. It's
Well, no,
all.
that's fine. Stainless steel is good. You need stainless steel and you need some nonstick, depending on I think we had this conversation once before.
Yes, and
I
actually.
think if you're gonna, if anything that needs to get caramelization to develop that brown, what they call the fond or the
Yes.
fond, you need a stainless steel. The nonstick isn't gonna develop that, so your sauces won't be as rich.
That's what the boyfriend said. Because we were looking at, we went to Linens and Things. We were looking at the different sets of cookware, and they're so fucking expensive. I can't get over how
The
expensive they
really
are.
good stuff is, but the my feeling like on a lot of stuff I'm cheap. I feel like don't buy the most expensive because la da da. With certain kinds of cookware, I do believe that you should get the good stuff. I don't mean the most expensive, but the really good quality. And the good stuff is going to be relatively expensive, but it literally will last you your whole lifetime.
Okay, now when you say relatively expensive, like I was seeing sets for like $350, $400. Would you think that's expensive?
What was in the set? Like
Oh,
how
I
many
don't
pans and
remember.
pots and all that? Because it's, if you're talking about a set that's more than 9 pieces and that's, it's one of the good brands like All Clad, Cuisinart, Calphalon, that's actually a pretty good price. Because remember, this stuff will last you a lifetime.
Well, this was the who's that famous chef who goes bam?
Oh God, Emeraldware.
Yeah, it was Emeraldware. Yeah, not good.
Well, that's good. Well, no, it's good stuff because I think it's all clad, but it's just his signature one. And yeah. you're paying for the fact that it's Emerald. I just wouldn't want to look at his name every time I went to cook.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't either.
There are a lot of places. Well, first of all, there's a lot of places online, but there's also a lot of places that sell really good quality and good brands for less, you know, in some of the discount department stores.
Well, what's a name brand that I should look for? Because the boyfriend said, well, you got to get online and ask Mark. He'll know.
It's funny because this is one of the most frequent questions I get asked, and I don't have brand loyalty. I don't think that, first of all, I shouldn't be shilling for these guys.
Well, that's true, yeah.
But I say they're, like I said, All Clad, Cuisinart, Calphalon are all really high quality of the heavy duty stuff.
Okay.
And they have different, like some of them have the dual construction. Some of them are solid on the bottom. Some of them have an alloy where they're like it's copper on one side but stainless steel on the other. But they're all good quality. Like I would say any of those three brands would be really good.
Okay, then in terms of what it should contain, like a 10-inch saucepan, you know, that's the part that I don't know.
Yeah, I think a good basic set that everyone should have should be a large sauté pan or a sautoir, which is essentially it's like about 10 inches or maybe 12 inches. I have some of my clients, I have if they have families, I have them get the 14-inch one because then you can cook a lot more. And the one that doesn't have, not the slope-sided one, but the one where the sides sort of go straight up and it's yeah. pretty tall, so like about maybe 3-4 inches of tall. Usually you can tell these ones because they have the long handle and then on the far side they have a short handle,
yes.
loop handle.
Because, I saw that.
You know, yeah, I definitely have one of those because you can use it both to saute and to make, you know, sauces or like stir fries. You can do vegetables in them. You can do things that have sauces and, you know, they're deep enough and wide enough that you can contain everything. A regular saute pan is literally just that. It's just a saute. They can be wide of any width, but they have angled sides and they're not deep. So, you know, you can saute chicken breasts or a steak or do a quick stir fry, something that has, you know, when you do those flip things.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not going to be deep enough to make a sauce in. You know, you're not going to saute your main dish and then throw a bunch of vegetables in and then throw a bunch of tomato sauce in,
yeah,
for example.
Yeah, it'll be overflowing.
If you're making, right, if you're making servings for more than two people.
But now, should it have a lid with it? It should have a lid, right?
Well, a lot of these sets have, what they'll do is there'll be, for example, like the pasta pot and the saute pan will be the same width, so then they'll share a lid.
Oh, okay.
So, like, if you have a quote-unquote a nine-piece set, you're going to have, like, five actual pieces and then four lids or something like that. Or like, sometimes it'll be four pieces, a steamer insert or, like, a pasta insert, and then the three lids, you know, something like that.
Well, the one that you just said, the five pieces and the four lids, is actually what we saw over and over again, so...
That's your pretty standard. And then there's some of like the 11-piecers that have more. And the nice thing about any of those main brands is that you can buy, obviously, everything individually. So you would start with one of the sets, and then you would get some of the individual pieces on the side. Like, I think, for example, they have these little tiny saucepans, you know, little 2-quart saucepans.
Right.
Those are really good for melting butter, for making a little sauce, you know.
Or like, scrambling 2 or 3 eggs.
Well, that would be for a small saute pan, yeah, but not for the little saucepan because obviously you can't really get in there into the corners for the. I'm talking about like a little tiny, like a little.
The saucepan that's straight up and down on the edges.
Like a little pot, like a tiny little pot is what it is.
Oh, okay.
But it's, you know, like I have one that that someone gave me as a gift, a tiny little 2-quart all clad that's really great because it's very heavy bottom. It's beautiful for slowly melting butter or for making a sauce, you know, after I used it the other night. I did a dinner for two, a romantic dinner for two, and we did a filet mignon with a black truffle sauce. And while the filet mignon was, you know, I seared it on the stovetop and then I put it in the oven because then you can't do that with a nonstick, right? You have to use a stainless steel to put it in the oven. So I put that in the oven, and then I used the tiny sauce pot to make the sauce, which was you start by melting some butter, and you cook some veal demi-glace with some Madeira wine until that reduces, and then you take it off the heat and throw the truffles in, and then finish the sauce with cold butter, and it's an amazing sauce. You know, it's just really, really great.
Yeah,
little kind of saucepan is perfect for something like that.
Yeah, see, I have one of those little saucepans that came with my Revereware. So
yeah, that's really good also for like if you're gonna melt jelly. To use as a glaze over like fruit topping for a tart or something.
Yeah, I do that so often.
Literally, no, I'm saying you open a jar of store-bought jelly, you throw it in there, it melts, use that as a glaze for pork.
I know, the boyfriend's done that before. He's done that before, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so, and you think maybe around $400 is a good price?
I'd say you can get some of them for cheaper if you shop around and you look at the discount stores. I mean, one of my clients lives down on Wall Street and they're right next to Century 21, which is a really famous discount store. That's, you know, Century 21 is like right next to the World Trade Center where the World Trade Center was.
Okay.
And it's really great discount store. You can get like Armani for 50% off, but it's from last season. Like everything is from last season.
Oh, how last season?
And the house, well, hey, whatever, it's Armani. And the housewares also are really good deals. And in fact, I went and bought several things a couple weeks ago for the same client because they had some pans and stuff, but you know, it was a mishmash. And I said, look, there's really, you know, they have a family of five. And I said, for some of the things, I need larger pans. So she said, okay, go ahead and, you know, buy them and then just bill us. So I went there and I got some great deals. I got a really large, one of these stainless steel saute pans that we're talking about, a 12 inch, and it, not a not at one of the three high brands. In fact, I forget right now what it was, but it's really decent quality. What matters is that it has a thick bottom
right.
to conduct heat well, and it won't scorch and it won't have uneven spots. And I think it was like $30.
Oh,
that's
a
really
good
deal. Really good deal. Yeah.
Well, so I'll be outfitting my kitchen soon with new pots and pans because the boyfriend said,
yeah.
if you want me to cook dinner parties at your house, you're going to need to get some stuff that I can cook with.
But now don't get rid of the Revereware.
That stuff
is good.
That was going to be my next question. Should I get rid of all that stuff? And now, obviously now, no. So
is it the Revereware that from like the 80s where like it's copper line on the bottom, but it has the plastic handle with the little ring on the bottom on the
yes,
back?
Yes.
See, I kind of like those. Those are good. But again, you can't put them in the oven. So that's one of the drawbacks. But I mean, if you can stack them up and keep them in the back, you know, of one of your cabinets, then, you know, I use those for lots of little sort of all-purpose kind of thing, you know, especially if I'm doing a lot of cooking. You know, I'm not going to buy more all-clad. I'm not going to buy more Calphalon just to do basic things. You know, I'm going to use my all-clad for the heavy-duty sauté stuff.
Yeah.
But then, you know, I might use the Revereware just to keep something warm.
Yeah, you know? See, I would do the same thing and leave the big clad stuff for the boyfriend to cook with. But anyway. So that's
well, no, the nice thing about the stainless steel stuff is that anyone can cook with it because it is stainless steel, you know. And it's
right.
just, as long as you have a nice scrubby pad to clean it off and it, you know, it cleans off, they stay nice and clean and gleaming and shiny for, you know, for a lifetime. Even if you burn something on it, you know,
you can still clean it out.
Yeah, that's you can right. still clean it out. Whereas nonstick, obviously, if you ruin something, you scrape the bottom, then it's done. You gotta get another one.
Exactly.
But I would suggest that you get one good heavy-bottomed nonstick pan, or you can get one of these ones that's aluminum, but they're a heavy gauge aluminum, so they're kind of light, but they're aluminum body, and then the inside is coated with the nonstick.
I always have one
of those on hand for eggs and for certain kinds of things. You know, if I'm doing scallops or fish.
Yeah.
That I'm pan frying, like, you know, dusted with a little bit of cornmeal, you've got to have a nonstick for that stuff.
Yeah, and I do. I actually already have one for that. So
because if you've ever tried to cook scallops on a stainless steel with not enough fat in the pan,
it sticks.
And you go to turn it, and it literally rips apart.
Yeah.
It will just rip in half, and half of it stays to the bottom of the pan. So that's no good. And chicken in a stainless steel, if you haven't put enough fat on the bottom, and you go to turn it too soon. It'll just rip right in half.
Yeah.
But the nice thing, the way of avoiding that is just let it cook a little bit longer. When it releases on its own, then you can flip it.
Oh, that's good to know.
With chicken, there's something about the way that the protein coagulates that makes that happen. I don't know what it is.
But. All right, now I want to totally change topics here.
Okay.
Did you hear I don't know, because I know you're a relatively political person. You keep up with certain things, I guess. I read on Andy Maddock's blog. Do you know Andy Maddock?
Yeah, I haven't checked him out in a long time, but I know
of
he is.
Of course, now his page isn't coming up as fast as that. Okay, here it is. I just read this. He doesn't have the date when he posts things, but it says, the most wonderful time of the year, McKinney introduces articles of impeachment in the House. Supposedly on Friday, Cynthia McKinney introduced articles of impeachment for George Bush, Dick Cheney, and Condoleezza Rice.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. But I don't know how serious it is because I didn't hear anything in the news about it. Did you hear anything about this?
No, but I'm clicking on it right now. It comes from afterdowningstreet.org. Oh, it's a PDF. It's going to take a while to come up.
And also, isn't Cynthia McKinney the one who, the black lady who had all those problems when she was roughing up?
I don't know. Mm. I don't know. Oh, this is the actual.
Yeah.
This is the actual language. The
right.
resolution.
The actual document.
Resolved that George Walker Bush, President of the United States, is impeached for high crimes and misdemeanors, and that the following articles of impeachment be exhibited to the United States Senate. Blah blah blah. Be it resolved, failure to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution, and violation of oath of office, and the oath of office, which reads, "I do solemnly swear." Blah blah blah. Oh wow, this is great.
Yeah, but don't you think that would have gotten some news?
Action. Yeah. Let's see. What is the date on here? It's not dated on the top.
Is it? Look closely, because I said the same thing. It's it says December 8th.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that was just
Friday.
That was just Friday, so maybe it was entered in the afternoon, you know. But, you know, the thing is, I don't know. I don't know. That's strange.
And my question, too, would be is that if this is the Cynthia McKinney who was having all those difficulties with the police, the Senate, or the congressional police, or whatever they are people going to take her serious on this, and will it get any kind of action?
Well, I mean, yeah, I don't know. That's the part of the process that really annoys me, because it's like, well, is she not a member of Congress? Does she not have the power to do that? I mean, you know, and she's speaking for certainly, as he said in the article, at least 51% of Americans, according to a Newsweek poll, you know, think that he acted illegally in creating this war. So, I mean, I would think it's your duty, whether or not you're politically popular, you know, to bring up legislation that you feel is you know, necessary. You know, well, now of course, whether or not someone's the taint of someone's controversy keep it from going forward is obviously that's a political issue.
Yeah, and that's what my fear would be. But I actually hope to hear something about this today.
Just scrolling through here randomly, and they misspelled Condoleezza's name. They left out the D. Condoleezza Rice.
Oh, well,
the lawyers will probably say, oh, well, that renders the whole document
invalid. Just going to say that, yeah.
We don't know any Condoleezza Rice.
I can't believe that a document like this would have a spelling error in it.
Well, I mean, what? You wouldn't believe that someone in the government would make a mistake?
Oh, well, in this government, yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, that's an interesting tidbit.
And, it's intense. Keep an eye on it and start blogging about it then.
Yeah.
It won't pick up. Maybe the bloggers should do something about it.
Yeah, you're getting a little Skypey, but I agree with you there. I'm hoping somebody will pick it up and we'll hear more about it.
Yeah.
And then the last thing, did you see that Barack Obama was in New Hampshire this weekend?
I did. I saw that, and he is really stirring it up.
He is. I think he's going to get more interest than Hillary is right now.
What bugs me is, you know, people always have to make comparisons. You know, they can't just let something be what it is. They have to make comparisons. And they're like, oh, well, this is like Robert Kennedy in 68, only the difference was that was the actual election year. Now, oh, he's going to peak too soon. And it's
right.
Like, you know, just why do you have to make such comparisons? You know, people are always everything has to be compared against something else. It can't let anything just be what it is. You know, Barack Obama's got to represent this or be that. It's like, why can't he just be Barack Obama, a guy who is a senator who has some ideas, and a lot of people are responding to his ideas? Why does he have to be sort of the black guy or the Robert Kennedy like guy and this and that and the other, you know?
You know, but here's the thing, I would be very fine with him running for president. I'd be fine with Hillary running for president or anybody else in the Senate, but when's the last time a senator was president?
Yeah, it's been a tough. We've tended to go for governors in the last couple of decades.
So my fear is that no matter who runs, unless you're a governor, forget it. So,
Well, but I mean, I don't think that that's you know, that's
I know, I just like to say that.
it's just yeah, I mean, it's been the case lately. But what I find interesting is that, a lot of people are saying, oh, well, he has very little actual legislative experience, and la di da. I'm like, well, actually, given the way that our government has been going the last 20 years, I think that's a good
Yeah,
thing.
that's a good thing.
Isn't embroiled in all of that junk, who doesn't have a bunch of political debts to repay, who hasn't sort of gotten in bed with all these special interests. I think that's the kind of person I would want for my president. But as you know, I tend to have very libertarian leanings.
Yes,
So,
that's true.
but he strikes me as an interesting fellow. I think, he certainly is, of all of the politicians I've seen or heard, he's the only one who's different from the rest. They all, whether or not, whatever they believe in, they all have their own, they all sort of fit into some pre-existing mold. And he
Yeah.
seems slightly against any of the molds, which I just like in general, whether it's, friends or politicians,
Right.
I don't like generic people.
Yes. All right. Well, we got to wrap this up. I want to I was going to say one more thing, but I was going to say that The Amazing Race is on, but we're recording this before The Amazing Race, so we don't know who won.
Over, it's done with, and Larry and Mike Hip can now breathe easy.
Yeah, they can. All right. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. I appreciate it.
All right.
And of course, we'll have you on back again. Now, for those of you who have been listening to the Gangbang podcast, we have other people who are interested in doing the group podcast. So I'm going to
Ooh,
try to do that again Tuesday
fresh
night.
meat.
Exactly. So if you want to tune in to Skype on Tuesday night, let's say around 7 p.m., I'll be on there and I'll, let anybody join the chat that we have online. So
I will certainly try.
I know you will. All right.
Okay.
So thanks again, Mark, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.